KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Our in-depth guest today is Connie King Leonard, author of the new novel Sleeping in My Jeans from Portland's Hooligan Press. Sleeping in My Jeans tells the story of 16-year-old Maddie Rollins and her 6-year-old sister Meg, who become homeless in Eugene, Oregon, when their mom leaves her abusive boyfriend. With no better options, the family starts living out of their old Subaru wagon, which they call Ruby. Then one day, Maddie's mom vanishes. The teen must care for her sister while racing to find the truth behind her mother's disappearance. In the words of author D.K. Green, if you've ever wondered why people live on the street, Connie King Leonard can show you how easy it is to get there and how difficult it can be to get back home. Connie King Leonard writes books for children and teens. She's taught middle school and high school, and her experiences provided the inspiration for Sleeping in My Jeans. In 2008, she won the K. Snow Award for children's writing for her book, Too Much Glue, Gertie. We're fortunate to have Connie live in the KBOO studios on this very snowy afternoon to talk about her book. Connie King Leonard, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you for having me, Ken.
Connie, first a little about your background. As mentioned in the intro, you've taught middle school and high school students. Was that in Eugene where the book takes place?
I taught middle school in just outside of Eugene at Fern Ridge Middle School in Elmira. And the high school was a long time ago, but I also have taught some elementary school, but mostly middle school.
I should mention to listeners, you're also originally from North Dakota, right?
So I am.
The snow is no surprise.
No, but there it comes sideways and not fluttering down.
Now, when you were a teacher in high school and then later in middle school, of course, did you have experience, direct experience with students who were homeless?
I did in middle school, and especially one or a couple of them that I remember distinctly, living in a camper, one was, and one was living in a trailer. But not on the street exactly like Maddie was.
Now, I read in previous interviews, in print interviews, you've mentioned you had one particular student that was an eye-opening experience for you.
It was. I had been I always check to make sure the students bring their supplies, and he all of a sudden quit bringing his science book, and I would stop by and remind him, and and one day he turned to me and he said, five of us are living in a camper on the back of a pickup truck. My science book is not there. And I think what stuck in my mind so, made it so vivid, was middle and high school students don't share a lot about their situations at home, especially when things are going badly, and they keep it pretty close to the vest. And so I'll never forget that moment.
And that was in Eugene?
Yes.
At the middle school?
Well, it was in Fern Ridge, yes, at the middle school.
What happened to the student? Did you check up on him?
I just handed him a new science book.
What you could.
Yeah, and he had a roof over his head and a family. And in these days, that's, you know, you look at that, and he did the best he could with what he had.
Now, was that the initial idea for Sleeping in My Jeans? It seems the book is an attempt to humanize the problem of homeless kids.
It is. And I think it just was an eye-opener to me that we make assumptions that every kid comes to school with the breakfast and food and housing and all the things they need to be successful, when that is not the case at all.
Now, besides your own experience as a teacher, especially with a student who's living out of the camper with so many other people in his family, did you do further research into homelessness in Oregon?
I did. I talked to the Eugene Police Department, the Eugene City Library. I went to a homeless shelter for mothers and children. I worked at the Egan Warming Center when it gets cold, and we use churches and whatever for people to sleep the night. And so I did some research into it, and also just what I read. And recently, you'll see over 40,000 students in the state of Washington and over 20,000 in the state of Portland are considered homeless. They're not all in the street, but they don't have adequate or regular housing.
I saw that on your website. Those numbers are staggering and extremely sad.
They are. They are because, again, they're competing with kids that have everything going for them, and yet they're struggling to live out of a backpack.
Now, we should mention, I'm using the word homeless because that's what's used in the book, but you would also mention that, and at Cable a lot, we use the word houseless because people will consider even a tent, if they're living out of a tent, their home, but they're not in a house or an apartment.
And I agree with that. I think we need to be working at switching our vocabulary because the camper for my student was his home. And in the book, Ruby, their Subaru station wagon, is their home. And so houseless is a better word, I think.
Now, the main character who is houseless in the book is Maddie Rollins. As mentioned, she's 16 years old and a high school student. We get the story directly from Maddie, so it's told in first person and actually in present tense. Was your intention to put the reader in Maddie's head as if we're living the story along with her as it's happening?
I was. I tried it first person past, and it didn't have the same impact. And when I switched to present, it was much more powerful. As people have read it, I've had people comment on that they felt like they were right in the story. So I think it was successful in that regard.
Now, in addition to houselessness and a missing mom, you also give Maddie another big challenge. Her dad was part black, so she faces life in Eugene, Oregon, which is a predominantly white city, as a person of mixed race. Was that something you wanted to explore in the book?
It was. At the time, and I started this 12 years ago, there weren't many books out there with students of color as the hero or heroine. And I wanted to make some... that I wanted to change that as little in any way I could. And I felt I could write from a child of mixed race because I've had students in my class and I have family and friends that are of mixed race. And that's one reason that I made her to be biracial.
And she actually talks to a policeman in the book who says she needs to be extra careful because she's very easy to spot in a city like Eugene.
She is, because there are so few students of color in Eugene. And certainly in some of the schools that she would be in, she would be one of the minority.
You also... get into sex traffic. I don't want to give too much away in the book because it is very suspenseful in addition to being important work about our culture and houselessness. Was that something you did some research into also?
I did, and I learned that I-5 is a trafficking hub. I shouldn't say hub, but a route all the way up the coast, which shocked me, the amount of problems that, and something we need to be doing more about, I think.
Now, you put together a teacher's resource guide for Sleeping in My Jeans, which you make available for free on the Ooligan Press website. What were your objectives for the guide, and have you received any feedback from the teachers and students who are using the guide or read the book?
Well, I haven't had too much feedback yet because people are just getting acquainted with the book. But I put together the guide because I thought it might be a good book to be read in class for middle and high school, early high school students. And this way, I know what it's like to be a teacher. You can't get everything done. And to be able to just pick up the guide and teach from it would be wonderful. And so I thought, well, why not? I'll just put it out there. And so it can be downloaded from either my website, ConnieKingLeonard.com, or from Ooligan Press.
The book launch was held at Oregon Public House. The proceeds from that night, food, drink, raffle ticket sales, went to Food for Families, which is a local nonprofit mobile food bank. So the book's not just working to publicize and humanize the problem of houselessness, but hopefully to help the houseless and hungry in our state. Any efforts underway where listeners can get involved?
Well, I do have on my website a place to a link to donate straight to St. Vincent de Paul in Eugene for affordable housing. They've done some great work there. And I just encourage people to look around, find out where they can help, do what they can, and most important, to be aware of the situation that's out there.
I read in previous interviews, too, you kind of emphasized all of us could maybe use a little more empathy when we see the houseless. As I drove into Cebu this afternoon, on this very cold afternoon, and it was starting to snow, just two blocks away, there's about three tents with the houseless people in there. What can we do?
Well, I think the empathy is important, that most people, I think, are not on the street because they want to be. There's some reason they're there. And the Oregonian did a good write-up not long ago about two different groups of people, that there are a great number of people that end up on the street through no fault of their own. Something happened. They lost a job. Their housing rates went up, abuse, whatever. And it might be very temporary, but they still need help, and it's still a vulnerable place to be on the road.
Especially as the price of housing goes up in
terrible.
A city like Portland, worse than other cities in the country.
Yes.
Now, I really like to give a shout-out to Ooligan Press, your publisher. That's out of Portland State University. It's operated not just to publish important books like yours, but with an emphasis on the Pacific Northwest. That's their mission. But it's a teaching opportunity for their graduate students. As a teacher yourself, what's it like working with Ooligan?
Oh, they were wonderful. I was so impressed. These students are just brilliant, and they're so professional. I couldn't ask for a better experience. I think for a first novel, or for any novel, it was just the best way to learn how a book is published. They're wonderful.
And you've got a pretty full slate of events. Want to tell us about a few upcoming ones?
I will be in Corvallis Wednesday at the Book Bin. There will be a person there, a Chris Hawkins, I think, from the Corvallis School District, also talking about students needing help and what Corvallis School District is doing for the houseless students. I go to Salem in March to the Book Bin, and in March, I also go to Bend to Roundabout Books.
Can you tell us, you mentioned the websites, but maybe mention them again, where people can find out about these upcoming events, find out more about you, your work, this particular book, and maybe purchase it if they're interested.
It's at www.ConnieKingLeonard.com. It's also on all the, you can order it from your local bookstore, is what I encourage people to do, but it's also online at places people order books.
Well, Connie, thanks so much for joining us again on this very snowy afternoon at Cebu.
Thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
We've been talking with Connie King Leonard, author of the new novel Sleeping in My Jeans, from Portland's Ooligan Press. As we said, you can learn more about Connie and her work at ConnieKingLeonard.com and Ooligan Press at Ooligan, that's a OOLIGAN.pdx.edu. This is Ken Jones for Cebu's News in Depth. Keep it tuned to Cebu. We'll have more News in Depth after this.